Blog Talk Radio. Please you I long for, to know you I long for, your will is the safest place to be. And I believe in this 2016, we need to be in God's perfect will. Whatever we do in this journey called life, we need to be in God's perfect will, not his permissive will, but his perfect will. And that's my prayer for each and every one of us in 2016, that we are going to stay in the place called destiny, the perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. Blessed 2016. Bless you and bless you real good. My name is Pastor Pauline, and I'm honored to be the pastor of God's Helping Hand Outreach Ministry. I greet you in no other name but the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray that we all had a great new year. We had a great celebration. We had a great festivity for the holidays, and it's now back to the grind. Amen? Amen. Getting back to the grind. The devil is a liar now, and we're expecting great things from God, and we're back, as usual, back on our fast. Tomorrow is Monday. I'm not going to be fasting tomorrow. I have a friend here with me who is traveling back, so I have to entertain, but I'll be fasting from Tuesday. So you would know, if you see me, anybody in LA, listen to me carefully now, you see me eating tomorrow, don't be saying Pastor Pete called a fast and she's eating. The fast, you guys fast, I'll do my fast on Tuesday. Is that okay?
All callers are muted.
Say fast.
All callers are
okay?
Muted.
Tomorrow, please fast. But I am not fasting. I'm fasting on Tuesday because I have guests. Is that all right?
Yes.
Amen.
Fine.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen.
All callers are muted and they can unmute them.
And so we're fasting tomorrow, and we're going to have an interesting, I believe, a very interesting 2016. God has been speaking to me to do some things. Sister Josie had called and requested have 5 a.m. prayer, and we are going to work that out where we can start doing back our 5 a.m. prayer. We'll work things out. I want to start back the Bible studies. We have to get some things in order, so please pray my strength that God in his mercy would give me the grace and the wisdom to coordinate all the things that I need to coordinate for you guys. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he will do it. He will do it. I feel excited about 2016. Listen, 2015 was a blast. I enjoyed it much. But praise the Lord, everybody, it's done. And so I kicked the door open in 2016, and I'm grateful to God we made it. But by the grace of God, there go us, because we made it. And I believe that God has something profound for us, exciting, supernatural for us in 2016. And I want us to be encouraged and understand that God still loves us. He still has a plan for us. And if we do not faint and give up on God, God will not give up on us. And he never will give up on us. But we need to have that faith to believe that God is who he said he is. He's sovereign, he's holy, and he is a keeper. And if you will, please turn your Bible. I believe I have a word from God for us. And this was a very interesting day, because up till maybe half an hour ago, I didn't know what I was going to preach. I did not have a word. I was doing a class, and when I was done, I heard the Lord say Psalm 23, and please pray my strength that I can bring this thing home, because I need a word today. The first Sunday in 2016, I need a word as well as all of us. So if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and the most popular psalm in the world, Psalm 23. We are a church. We are a virtual church. What does that mean? It means that we are a church without walls. We are doing it virtually, but we are still a church. So I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, if you're driving and you can pull to the shoulders safely, please do that right now. Yeah. If you can, if you may, if you can, please pull up to the side safely. For those of you who have working legs, if you have working legs, please do me a favor. And stand. Everybody stand. In your kitchens, in your bathroom. Oh, I'm trying to do two things at a time. I'm trying to tell someone that they need to join us. So please bear with me. So I'm not pausing because something is going on. I'm trying to tell someone, please join me for church. And so, yeah, if you have legs that work, please stand wherever you are, in your bedroom, in your basement, wherever you are. If you have legs that work, please join me. Turn your book to the book of Psalm 23. And I'll be reading in your hearing the entirety of Psalm 23. For those of you who just became saved, Psalm 23 is found in the Old Testament. And it's the most popular psalm. So, everybody knows it by heart, I assumed. But it's Psalm 23. Stand, please. Not because I asked you to, but because God is sovereign. When someone of authority shows up in a room, we all behave. If we're chewing gum, we spit it out. We take our hats off. You know, I went to a New Year's Eve party, and it was amazing that I had to pray with some people. And it was amazing, because I'm like, if I have to tell this boy to take his hat off, I'm going to knock him outside his head, as big of a celebrity that he is. And I was amazed that when I said, let us pray, he pulled his hat off immediately. And I was like, wow, got that right. And so we need to remember that God is sovereign. We have to remember that God is holy and righteous, and that he demands respect. If you're going to have the president walk in of any country and take off your hat and stand to greet the president, far more the president of the universe, the ruler of all mankind. So stand so that everybody can be blessed. If you sit and you because of rebellion, you tithe your blessing. So it's a form of credence, respect, and humility to a God that keeps us and loves us, but he's still the boss, the CEO of the universe. Amen? So Psalm 23, all standing, all parked to the side carefully. If you want to kneel, that's fine too. You can kneel, but we're going to read Psalm 23 here, beginning the reading of God's most holy word. The Lord is my shepherd. We can read it all together. We all know the psalm.
All callers are muted.
And so
all
here
callers
goes,
are unmuted.
I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me
by the still water.
He restores
my soul. He leads me in the path of
righteousness
for his name's
sake.
Yea, do I walk through the valley of the
shadow
of death.
I will fear no evil.
Fear no evil, for Emma, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
They comfort me.
You prepare a
table for me.
Present of my enemy.
Present of my enemy.
You anointed my head with oil. And my cup runs
over.
Surely goodness
and mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the
house
of Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. You may drive off. Don't flush your toilet. This is a virtual church, okay? Amen. Amen. Amen.
All callers are muted and they can't.
I'm like, wait a minute. You want the toilet? But okay, I understand. Amen, amen, amen. That's the virtual stuff. Amen. And so if I'm to give my sermon a title, it will simply be called The Lord is the One Who Keeps Me. The Lord Jesus, not the government, not a husband, not a wife, not a mother, not a father, not a friend, but it's the Lord Jesus who provides for me and keep me. And so let me just give a brief background in the text, pray my strength. Like I said, I just got this word from the Lord about 30 minutes ago. So the Holy Ghost, I need you, I need you, I need you. Edify your people, show up and show out like never before. Use your handmaiden for your honor and your glory only. Open up the eyes, mind, and the understanding of your people that they may hear what thus say the Lord. Let them understand that it is you that keep us. You are the one that direct us, and you are the one that's going to save your people. And I thank you, God, that when we leave your presence today, after all is said and done, we will have a better understanding as to who we are and whose we are. Continue to bless and keep your people, for thou art a sovereign and a mighty God. Use this platform for your glory and deliver your people from themselves in Jesus' glorious name. And we say amen. Psalm 23, Blog Talk Radio. If you just called in, here we go. And so we are in the book of Psalm, and Psalm, the word Psalm comes from a Hebrew word called Tehillim, which means praise or song of praise. We are Christians, but our Jewish sisters and brothers, they use the book of Psalms differently. We use it for our devotional. Our sisters and Jewish sisters and brothers, they use it as a hymnal. So we just read the psalm, they sing it. It's the most beautiful thing to hear. If you've ever had a chance to go to a synagogue, or you would like to, if they will allow you to come in, please sneak on in. Come on, Janet. Yeah, so Janet was where I worked back in the 90s. Janet was a secretary to a synagogue. That's where I met Janet. And so on Friday night, when Janet would get the rabbi's agendas and everything together, I would stay back late. They wanted me to get up by 6, but I'm kind of nosy. I'm like, what do they do up in this? And it's the most glorious celebration to listen to the harmonies and the melodies of them singing all 150 psalms. They sing different psalms at different times and seasons of the year. It's the most beautiful thing. So if you are able to sneak in a synagogue, if they would allow you to go in, try to see how they worship. And so this is sung at a synagogue. We use it at a devotional. Psalm 23 is the most popular psalm in the world. Whether you be Buddhist, atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Hindu, whatever you are, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, and they know the Lord is my shepherd. This psalm was written by David. David was the king of Israel, shepherd boy turned king. So it's very appropriate that the king, who was once a shepherd boy taking care of sheep, he writes a most profound psalm in dedication to his chief shepherd, which is Jesus himself. And so the writer writes, he pens or he chronicles this psalm as an act of devotion. He is paying homage to the one who really keeps you. And if you think that the government or your mother or your father kept you, you are delusional. For David went through his life mostly like many of us. He was not born with a silver lining and a golden spoon in his mouth. He grew up, if we know the background of the man who penned this psalm, he grew up as an outcast. Who am I speaking to today? He grew up with his family. He grew up in a very dysfunctional family. And if you have ever grown up in a dysfunctional family, you would understand what type of life David had. David grew up in a family where his father had 8 children. Somewhere in that group, there was David. David had sisters and brothers. But for some reason or the other, his father, I cannot say the mother, but I never heard the mother speak. But for some strange reason, his father did not like him. And so the Bible said that God was displeased with the old king. And when God looked down on the earth to replace, he was about to replace Saul the king. Saul was a madman. Saul was an ungodly man. And God said, I have to find myself another king to replace Saul on the earth realm. He looked down from the bowels of the skies and the atmosphere and the clouds, and he saw a boy in a field. Now, I don't understand. If it's me, I would not look for a king in a field sweating flies and hearing bah. I'm going to look in a castle, someone with a great pedigree, someone with great educational standing. I would not take a boy from the backside of the field to run a nation. But here is how God is sovereign, but he's mad with his outlook of things. In that field, he saw a king. When you look in the field, you saw a shepherd, a boy who is an outcast, a jacked-up boy. Because once you are rejected, you start getting broken. But God looked down and he saw this shepherd and he said, that's my man. I see the ingredients of a leader in this boy, and I'm going to groom him to run the greatest nation of the earth. But I'm going to do more than that. And I'm speaking to someone who is not feeling good about himself or herself. God does not look at your circumstance. You may be, and might I tell you, a shepherd is the lowest, lowest, lowest job one can have. In Bible history, the insurance company, if they would have had that in Bible time, they would not insure a shepherd. In fact, it was said, and it was well said, if a shepherd was to fall into a hole, leave him. Do not risk your life for a shepherd. And that's what David was. That's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I didn't come here for glory. I come here lowly as a shepherd. Because a shepherd is nobody. But the greatest people are the people who are humble. For God exalts the humble. And the Bible said that David's profession was that of a shepherd. In that shepherd lay dormant a leader. But God had to take him through a journey. And many of us want the fame, but we don't want the pain. We want the glory, but we don't want to cry. And so here it is, out of the experiences from David's life, David was able to pen most of the 150 Psalms. Where is he getting all these ingredients to write these powerful words, "The Lord is my keeper"? Because he's talking from experience. He sat in a field, God has chosen him, but the people that are supposed to back him up said they saw nothing in him that was good. And so the Bible said that God sent a prophet, a preacher, to tell him who he was. He said, "Go into Jesse's house and I'll tell you who to anoint." And in Bible days, when you see a preacher or a prophet coming with a flask of olive oil, you know God is about to promote somebody up in my house. So when they heard the knock on the door and the father saw the preacher, he got excited. He said, "God is about to bless somebody in this house. There is a king up in here and it's in my house." And the Bible said the preacher, the prophet said, "God has sent me to anoint the next king of Israel." Now, could you imagine on a Sunday, a normal day, figuring out how I'm going to pay my bills, how I'm going to feed my family, and you get a knock on the door and the clearing house people say, "You just won 25 mil. Well, I guess that's how Jesse felt when he saw and he heard the knock, and the man said, "This is going to be the next king or the president of Israel. Somebody up in here, and it's your house. There's a king in the house, Jesse. One of your boys is a bad mamma jamma." And I believe I want to tell someone, in your house, it could be you, it could be you, it could be you. It could be discouraged you, but it's still you. It could be broke, busted, and disgusted, but it's still you. It could be depressed you, but it's still you. All that the hell that you've gone through, God has chosen you. "Well, God, I don't qualify." You didn't qualify yourself. God is the one who qualifies you. "Well, I don't think I'm worthy." It's not your decision. God has already said you are. And God is about to unveil. He's about to dig up the things that he has buried deep in you. "Well, all I have is pain." He's going to use that for his glory. "Well, all I have is brokenness, Pastor." He's going to use that for his kingdom. "Well, all I have is heartache and pain." He's going to use that for his glory. Who am I speaking to today?
All callers are muted.
I was said now.
All callers are unmuted.
The pastor says, or the prophet says, God has a king in this house. My job is to anoint him. God always has a something in somebody's house. In somebody's house, there is a teacher. In somebody's house, there is a deliverer. In somebody's house, there is a king, a business person. But by the look of things, when you look at the natural, it looks like nothing but mess. But God takes the messes of our lives and turn it into a message. Who am I speaking to? And the Bible says when he knocked the door and Jesse answered, Jesse, who had 8 sons, paraded 7. Why he did not like David? Why? God knows when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to ask, "Mr. Jesse, do you not understand that jacks up people's self-worth, self-esteem? To be rejected is a horrible thing." But no, he rejected the boy. He was already accepted in heaven. My God, who am I speaking to? Though he found the boy to be nothing compared to his brothers, God said he is somebody special. And whether you like him or like her, I have anointed him, and I have anointed her, and she or he will run the nation as I say. And so the Bible said Jesse chose the boy that he felt was kingly boys.
And how long ago?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
They had the right pedigree as per Jesse. And so the Bible says now that the prophet went to each and every one of the boys and God said, "Nope, nope, 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 nope." And so the prophet now is confused. He said, but none of these, but I know God sent me to this house. There's a king up in here. But none of them, do you have another son? And this is what the father said. He said, yeah, there's another boy, but he's nothing but a shepherd. He's in the bush out there. Surely that boy is not him. For before you, I have placed the kings. And the Bible said, the prophet said, go get the boy. And as soon as the boy walked in, God says, anoint him. And we know the rest of the story. He was anointed. A couple weeks after, he slayed the biggest enemy of Israel, Goliath. And we know the rest of his story. He went through hell to get to heaven. And because he had such a vast amount of experience, because he went through so much in his lifetime, because he wasn't a one-dimensional man. Some people have no experience, but they want big positions. You have to go through hell to tell me about heaven. You have to go through hell to tell me how to get through hell. Don't be reading a self-help book to help me when I have real issues. And so those who have gone through hell are able to stand as God's witnesses. Who am I speaking to? And so because David knew what rejection felt like, because he knew what abandonment felt like, because he knew what isolation felt like, he knew what depression felt like. It's a hell of a thing to have nobody in your family understand you far more like you. They don't like you. But yet you are part of a family. And somehow, you feel like a misfit. David was a misfit in his own family. Sir, you're not alone. Ma'am, you're not alone. And the Bible says he endured, and what God called him, he became. Don't you dare judge your present position to define where you're going in God. You may be broke today, basononomosia. Doesn't mean you're broke forever. And the Bible says he eventually, after many, many years, many theologians believe that he was anointed by Samuel the prophet in his teenage years, but he never sat on his throne until he was 30. That's a lot of hell to go through, almost 20-something years of hell before you get your blessing. And many of us like our now blessing. Bless me today, God. Bless me now. We don't want to go through anything. But the bigger the battle, the bigger the glory. The more hell you face, the more heaven you would see. And the Bible says he went through. I'm speaking to you so that you would know all the hell that you've been going through up till 2015 is not in vain. Do you hear me? All the oppression, depression, poverty, setbacks, all the hell, the lies, and the heartache, and the tears that fell from your eyes in 2015 is not in vain. Because now you're about to understand why you went through what you went through. And you're about to understand that God is the one that keeps you. And I want to just elaborate, and I'll send you home early. A lot of you have guests like myself, and you want to spend time with them, and everybody will be, some people will be traveling back to their various destination, and you guys will have to pack. So I want to focus on Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4, if God will allow me to do that, not the entirety of Psalm 23, but 1 to 4. David is now king of Israel. He's in an opulent place. He has the baddest army in the world at that time. He is a military man. He's known for killing with one stroke. God is with him. He has gone through the hell of rejection, but now he is one of the richest men in the world. God is the one that blessed him. The people who laughed at him, The people who saw him as nothing but his own family had to eventually bow and call him Your Majesty. So he learned through experience how not to have. He wasn't always a king. He wasn't always very rich. Don't you dare despise your lowly or small beginnings. Do not curse it. Do not fret at it, but embrace it. Because it's that same David who had nothing in the early stages of his life, died the one of the wealthiest men in the world by one person and one person alone. And he called that person his shepherd. Amazing. And what is amazing is that the king of Israel is writing, he's penning, he's coining, he's chronicling Psalm 23 as a king, but he's pulling back from his experience as a shepherd, the lowest form of employment any human being could have had in Bible history. When a shepherd falls, do not waste your time to pick them up. They are of no consequence. Don't risk your life. They cannot even be insured. There's no money. Nobody's going to insure them. It's $1, you're going to risk your life. Your life is worth more than a dollar. Leave them in the hole to die. And so here the king is writing about his shepherd because he understood more than anyone else the responsibility of a shepherd. A shepherd takes care of sheep. Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice. God sees us as sheep because the most profound responsibility is that a man or a woman who is called a shepherd that will lay their life down for a sheep. When a sheep is in danger, the shepherd is not in a position to say, well, I cannot, I should not. Anything that comes after his sheep or her sheep, she or he goes into harm's way and does battle for their sheep. Nobody allows a wolf, a lion, or a bear. That's why David told Saul, a bear came after my sheep and I ripped it apart. When the bears of life comes your way, God rips them apart. Don't you worry about your enemies now. He said, I have experience doing great battles because a lion came after one of my sheep. It wasn't after my family. Come on now. Something that is as docile as a sheep. If a lion comes and pick up one of the sheep, some of you would say, well, let it go. Not God and not David. He said to Saul, I ripped the lion apart. Well, that is what God does for his children. And so David used the metaphor of a shepherd parallel alongside God. And so he writes in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I will want or need of nothing. You may not have filet mignon. You may not have the best caviar. You may not have the best meat to make a meatball, but you're not hungry and you're not naked. Lord, I want all my bills to be paid off now. God said, your light is on. That's what I'm doing right now. Lord, I need a new car. Well, your old car just needs 4 tires. You can't afford a new car note. You need to chill. Lord, I need to move from my job. No, there are some demons you have to get tough with. I can't move you. You can't be running all your life. You got to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. So when I give you the fortitude to fight the battle, speak up for yourself, and I see that you're strong enough, then I'll put you to another job. But for now, toughen up. Who knows why God does what he does. But through it all, David understood it was not him, nor his accolades, nor his ability to be one of the baddest warriors in Bible history. No! It was all God. And when you understand that, God can take you to the next level. He can take you to the next, he can take you to the next phase in your life. He understood that God takes care of his own. He demonstrates that God, all through his journey, whether he was a shepherd boy in the field or whether he was a king, every time he got himself in a jam, it was God. It was God. You have to understand that it is God that's keeping you. It is God that's feeding you. God will not allow your phone to shut off. He will not allow your life to cut off. And you will overcome. If you understand it is God, it is God, it is God. Say it is God. It's all God. It's not me. It is all God. In Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you understand? You have needs, but your wants are taken care of. Well, I need a new car. Well, what's wrong with the old one? It's too old? Yes, girl, please, sit down. I shall not want. You have needs, but your wants are met. Figure out the difference between needs and wants. My desire is whatever. I don't like where I am, but God has provided. Understand that the rate by which you want to grow in the earth realm is not God's speed. You think you can handle this, and God is saying, If I give this to you, you will blow it big time. But as so, everything that you want, I will give it to you. Look around you. Your wants are met. Look around you again. Your wants are met. Your wants. Now your needs now, you have to wait on God. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And the imagery of this, David is talking about him caring for his sheep. And after the sheep have eaten and grazed, they need a place to rest and digest what they have eaten. And the Lord will always lead you and I to a place that is peaceful. A sheep, and the natural sheep, will only drink where the water is still. Raging waters, sheep are very coward. They are coward animals. Raging water to bend over. They will watch it. They will think that the waves will pick them up. So still running water is where a sheep will eat or drink. The same thing with God and you and I. God will not allow you to drink from a place that's raging. But he will move you from that raging place, and he would lead you softly so that you can get some rest. My friend came and she had rest here. He will move you from the raging winds of life and the raging waters of life and bring you to a still, quiet place. He leads you beside the still waters, verse 2. The waters where you have to catch back yourself. Regroup is a place of quietness. Just as the natural sheep cannot drink from rough waters, you and I cannot regroup and survive drinking and getting back our life by still water. And it is God. He led me when I was losing my mind. I had to regroup in a quiet place. I drank of his word. I drank from his presence. And I did not die. He pushed me gently. And I drank, and I was satisfied by still waters. If you're still around raging waters, ask God to lead me. Please, God, lead me to that still water that you promised in Psalm 23. I like this part right here. He resuscitated me. He restored my soul. I was about to die, verse 3. I was about to give up. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I cannot make it. I'm tired. Please, he
CPR'd you in the Holy Ghost.
Flatlined. You gave up. And God ran down from heaven, jumped in, and started to resuscitate your life. Boop. Come on, breathe. Breathe, you'll make it. Breathe. The bills will be paid. Breathe, you'll survive this. Breathe. Some of you need to breathe in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need.
All callers are muted.
To help you to breathe again.
All callers are unmuted.
Some of you need to breathe in the Holy Ghost. He restored my soul. My soul was dying, Pastor. That's why you have a God that's a good shepherd. So you don't know what my life has been. Restore them again, God, for your honor and your glory. Breathe on them. CPR some of them, God. Give them a heart transplant and beat the breath of life. Breathe enough, for God. You shall live. I speak to every discouraged person. God will restore your soul. Some of you guys need a soul CPR. About to give up, and God is not done with your story yet. Live, live, live in the name of Jesus. Live and not die. Live. He restored my soul. He rescued me from trouble. He rescued me from depression. He rescued me from pain and heartache and disappointment. He rescued me from sure enough disaster. He breathed life. He gave me CPR when the depths of life wrung me. God pumped out the water from my nostril and my mouth that I can breathe on my own. And here I stand as a testimony that it was God that restored me. For surely the enemy was hoping I would die, but the devil is a lie. He restored my soul. And he led me, and I'm almost done, to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He protect me. Who am I talking to? He cared for me. Who am I talking to? He fixed the broken things in my life. Who am I speaking to? He pulled me out of trouble. Who am I speaking to? He grabbed suicide and said, go back to hell. Who am I speaking to? He sent oppression, depression, every shun that could come my way to stifle me and choke me. He chased gossip. He chased lies. And he caused me to breathe the things that stifled me in 2015. God gave me back my breath, that I may live and not die, and declare the word. He restored my soul. And he led me to the path, a path of peace, still waters. The raging waters were gone. And I needed to drink. Some of you need to drink. You're thirsty. You have battled so much in 2015 that now you're thirsty. And it is God that has to hold your hand. Some of you, it is God that has to bend your knees so that you can bow and drink of that still, quiet water. For you are his sheep, and the man Jesus is called the good shepherd. He's going to hold your hands. He's not going to let you go. So some of you need even the help of God to bend over to drink. Drink, son. Drink water. The water is still. Drink until you can drink no more. May God refresh you with the waters of heaven. And the Bible said that David is now writing from experience. And I'm now at 4, and I'm done. David said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff comforts me. What is David talking about? There are seasons in your life, and if you look back at 2015, you may have had one or many near-death experience? Many. Some of you had one or two. What is a near-death experience, Pastor, when you felt it's over, I'm done, I can't do this, I can't. I can't make this, I want to die. Have you ever said to God, take me home now? This is the king, the man who slew Goliath with one stone. He is talking about a near, yay, do I walk through the valley of shadow. That's heavy depression. Then he shook himself. He said, you know what? I will not be afraid. I will make it. I want you to say to your soul, I will make it in Jesus' name. I will not die. I will fear no evil. For somebody is with him. Somebody is giving him strength.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Somebody is giving him some sort of a courage to fight the good fight of faith. Though I feel like dying, something inside of me said there is one more round. Oh, my God, I can make it. For God, and come on, once you know that God is with you, anything the enemy sends your way, you are more than a conqueror. Bring it on, Satan. God is with me. Sickness, piece of cake. Bring it on. God is with me. Depression, oppression, poverty. And I'm not alone. Whenever I find myself low, whenever I feel that my soul is about to give up hope, I know that I know that I know that God's rod and his staff. Well, what is God's rod and staff? God will send an angel to tell you somewhere, somebody's going to reach out to you and say, girl, sir, it will be okay. His rod and his staff will comfort you. Have you ever felt the comfort of God before? God will use whomever he feels, whoever he chooses, to make sure that his sheep do not die. God will raise people up, interrupt people's time and season to make sure that you survive. You are a survivor, sir. You are a survivor, ma'am. You're not going under, sir. You're not going under, ma'am. You will make it. In the name of Jesus. For God's word is true. That although you went through hell and high water, David called it the valley. A valley is a dangerous place. Very hot in the day. And extremely cold at night. Nothing grows there. Can get nothing much in the valley. And David described it as a valley, a bad place, but he also calls it a mortuary or a cemetery. The valley of the shadow of death. Death thing lives in a cemetery. It was that bad for David. And there are times in your life that you and I will feel like we're in the valley of the shadow of death. But as David said, do not be afraid of that place, for God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And comfort, ladies and gentlemen, will be your portion. I want to encourage you as we begin this 2016. Some of you got out in the nick of time through the valley of shadow of death. You escaped out. You came out unscathed. You came up without a scratch or a blemish. But some of you are still creeping out. If you are still in the valley of the shadow of death, what can I say to you? Let me tell you what God says. Do not be afraid, for I am Matobosha with you. I will send you comfort. I will send you help. I will not leave you there to die in the valley of the shadow of death. If you will just believe in me, one more month, one more day, one more minute, and know that I am God and I cannot lie, the valley of the shadow of death will just be one of your passing testimonies. Would I leave you there? No. Are you coming out? Yes. Have faith in Him who is able to do exceeding abundant above all you can ever ask or think. Have faith in God, knowing that He knows. As you walk through that place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, what is that, Pastor? No money to pay your bills. The Valley of Shadow of Death, what is that, Pastor? An abusive situation that you feel that you're stuck in. The Valley of the Shadow of Death, bad decision that now you have to live with it. No, you don't. I am there with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. I will not be afraid for God. For God is with me. I want you to know that if you look right around you, even while you're in the valley of shadow of death, look and see who is with you. For God. I'm in a bad place, Pastor, but God is right there with you. Well, how do you know? You're still alive. Well, how do you know? You can still laugh in between. Well, how do you know? Your lights are still on. Well, how do you know your phone is still on? Pastor, I haven't worked for a year exactly, but you are surviving. So though you walk through that valley, know that you know that your God is with you. Comfort will be your portion. Help will be your portion. And He's going to bring you out unscathed. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe a lot of us will walk out before the end of this month out of that valley of shadow of death. And we will know that it is God from the beginning till the end that brought us out. If you happen to still be in that valley of shadow, it is okay. Know that you know that you know that you know that God will never leave you. I want you to know that the devil is a liar. He wants you to believe that you are abandoned. There is no God. He is a liar. Mm-hmm. The reason why you survived this long and you came this far in life is because the Lord is your shepherd. Amen? Amen. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a time and place you can make that relationship official. Every man or woman or boy or girl needs a keeper. They need a God. And Jesus is the only wise God. He's the true and living God. Unlike other gods who bully themselves upon you, Jesus says, come to me just as you are. You have to come to Him freely. He doesn't bully you. He doesn't force Himself upon you. His desire is to be that good shepherd that David wrote about. But you have to want Him. If that is you, all you have to do is put your hands on your heart and say these words, Lord Jesus, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that God raised you from the dead, I shall be saved. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my mind. And I give you my will. And I declare by faith that as of this day, in Jesus' name, that you, Father, are my keeper. Keep me, care for me as a sheep that I am. Bless me and keep my mind in peace, I pray. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. If you're here today and you are in a backslidden state, what that means is that you once knew the Lord, but life and its problems made you give up on God. This is a time, season, and place where you can rededicate your life to God. The Bible says any man or woman, boy or girl, that comes back to God heaven throws a party. If that is you, put your hand on your heart. All you have to say is, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I need Jesus back in my life. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. Wash me in your precious blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make me whole. I rededicate my life to you. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. From this day onwards, I promise to live for you for the rest of my living days, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. And it is so. If you need a pastor to pray for you, you said this prayer and you said, Pastor, I want a pastor to pray for me. Please call this number, 310-912-1752. Again, life can be tough. No man is an island. Everybody needs somebody. If you need a pastor to pray for you, please call this number, 310-912-1752. I want you to know that life is full of ups and downs. For many of us, it's more downs than ups, but we have a good shepherd that will keep you and I till the end. And if you call on his name, the mighty name of Jesus, whatever you ask of him, he will keep you. He will comfort you. And he will keep you safe. And though you and I may be in the valley of the shadow of death, a dark, lonely, frightening place, David said, I am telling you from experience, do not be afraid, for God is with you. And if I have to leave you with a word, no matter what you're going through right now,
all callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Shadow of that, I can tell you, as David said, God is with you. You are not going to die. You're not going to fall. You're not going to falter. God will never, ever leave you. He will never abandon you. Do you understand me? God will see you through till the end. God will bless you. In the ending, David understood and he boasts. He said, God anointed my head with oil. My God. I was blessed to the overflow. The thing that made me cry, made me laugh, it became my blessing. And goodness and God's goodness and mercy, I saw every day when I recognized it was God all the days of my life. And I acknowledge him as my good shepherd until I took my last breath. That's my testimony. It should be yours. Don't let the enemy confuse you. You will make it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord Jesus cause his face to shine upon you. Rababasso. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you peace, rest, joy, happiness, prosperity, and contentment in the Holy Ghost. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may rest, rule, and abide in your midst now and forevermore. And the children of God says, amen.
Amen, amen.
And amen. God bless you. Happy, prosperous, anointed, glorious 2016. May God grant you your heart's desire. May he crown you with a crown of gold upon your head. May he satisfy you with the best of heaven and provide for all of your needs, I pray. In Jesus' glorious name, and we say amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
God bless you too.
And happy, happy, happy new year. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, love you guys. Happy new year.
Happy new year.
People, you'll make it. You're not going to die in the valley. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys. Have a good evening. God bless.
Love you too. God
love
bless.
You. Love you. Love you. God bless. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Goodbye.